You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Prayer to Our Lady of Guadalupe. Dear Mother, we love you. We thank you for your promise to help us in our need. We trust in your love that dries our tears and comforts us. Teach us to find our peace in your Son, Jesus, and bless us every day of our lives. Help us to build a shrine in our hearts. Make it as beautiful as the one built for you on the Mount of Tepeyac. A shrine full of trust, hope and love of Jesus growing stronger each day. Mary, you have chosen to remain with us by giving us your most wonderful and holy self-image on Juan Diego's cloak. May we feel your loving presence as we look upon your face. Like Juan, give us the courage to bring your message of hope to everyone. You are our mother and our inspiration. Hear our prayers and answer us. Amen. Welcome, brothers and sisters. It's so lovely to have you once again. Every Tuesday and Friday afternoon, we get together. And of course, this lovely month of May is a total devotion to our Blessed Mother. You know, in the Book of Wisdom, chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, from the greatness and beauty of created things comes a corresponding perception of their creator, for the author of beauty created them. You know, the spiritual beauty of God is reflected most perfectly in the woman, and he created to be his mother. No stain of sin would mar the beauty of his reflection in her soul. Never for one instant would she be under the power of the devil. The Blessed Virgin Mary is the first instance of her conception. By a singular grace and privilege granted by Almighty God, in view of the merits of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the human race, was preserved free from all stain of original sin. As the Immaculate Conception, Mary bears in herself the most perfect reflection of the face of God. Saint Pope John Paul II wrote, "The Blessed Virgin saw shining upon her, as no other creature, the face of the Father, rich in grace and mercy. What in heaven and on earth could be more beautiful than the Mother of God? It is God who has willed that Mary be beautiful, and not only fair in face, but in the fullness of grace. Yet beauty has a purpose, and that is to draw us by the beauty of the graces God has given her towards the beatific vision, the face of God. Mary has no greater desire than when we turn towards the face of her Son, as she does, with eyes of love." Strangely, there are some who see the Blessed Mother not as a gift from God who leads us to her Son, but as an obstacle. They want to separate the Mother from the Son, even resorting to violence and smashing statues and slashing paintings of her. Mistakenly thinking that somehow this could be pleasing to God, but it is only pleasing to the devil. It is blasphemy. When we separate ourselves from Mary, we separate ourselves from Christ. In The Everlasting Man, G.K. Chesterton wrote and tells a story from his childhood many years before he became a Catholic, which left a deep impression on his soul. And by the way, that book is called In The Everlasting Man. He says, "When I was a boy, a more Puritan generation objected to a statue upon my parish church representing the Virgin and Child. After much controversy, they compromised by taking away the child. One would think this was even more corrupted with Mariolatry, unless the mother was counted less dangerous when deprived of a sort of a weapon. But the practical difficulty is also a parable. You cannot chip away the statue of a mother from all round that of a newborn child. You cannot suspend the newborn child in midair. Indeed, you cannot really have a statue of a newborn child at all. Similarly, you cannot suspend the idea of a newborn child in the void or think of him without thinking of his mother. You cannot visit the child without visiting the mother. You cannot in human life approach the child except through the mother. If we are to think of Christ in this aspect at all, the other idea follows, as it is followed in history. We must either leave Christ out of Christmas or Christmas out of Christ. Or we must admit, if only as we admit it, in an old picture, that these holy heads are too near together for the halos not to mingle and cross. Jesus alone is the way that leads to the Father, but Mary is the most beautiful image and likeness of Christ, which will lead us to Him." Right? Beauty will save the world. Mary has a spiritual beauty to share with the world that attracts and expresses what is beyond words. In the depths of her heart, the love of a mother for her Savior and Son. Our Lady, in whose face, more than any other creature, we can recognize the features of the incarnate Word. And that was by Pope Benedict XVI. So, my friends, as we continue our beautiful journey regarding Blessed Mother, I think one of the questions might come to you, if you've ever thought about it, did Mary ever perform a miracle? Did she ever perform a miracle? First of all, it's good to clarify that Mary herself does not perform miracles. All miracles are an act of God. That said, we Catholics do believe that Mary will pray for us if we ask, and that God's miracles can be related to her intercession. This belief has its roots in the gospel story of the wedding at Cana, when Mary sees the needs of the young couple and brings them before Jesus. And following this, Jesus works, again, his first miracle and turns water into wine. There are certainly many miracles, brothers and sisters, that are associated with prayers at Marian shrines or apparition sites. The Marian Shrine in Lourdes, France, is one of the most famous of these. And since 1858, 68 formally recognized miracles and more than 5,000 unexplained healings have been connected to Lourdes. So at this point, what I wanted to do is share with you a few miracles. You know, when we look at everyday miracles and we think, you know, is Mary active as with her son today? Of course she is. Life, brothers and sisters, is a gift from God, which brings us miracles every day. And one of these miracles happened to the producer, at least one of the producers from the Salt and Light Media. His name is Rodney Leung. And it happened when he was working again, as I say, at Salt and Light. And some kind person had donated some used religious items to them. Statues, works of art, some crosses, prayer cards, and it just went on and on. And the management, decided to give them out to all the staff. And he says we could take whatever we wanted. So for him, he said, it was a real blessing. And I thought, this is the kind of year-end bonus that only happens in a Catholic organization. He says, I was so excited and went to make my choice immediately. My eye was immediately caught by two statues of Mary, each about 3 feet tall, one made out of plaster and the other out of resin. Since I was taking public transportation to work at that time, he says, I decided to take the resin statue because it was lighter. It is a statue of Our Lady of Fatima. So he says, I looked for a bag that I could put it in and to keep it safe on the subway. And the only one I could find that was big enough was a transparent garbage bag. So Our Lady was on full display as I traveled home all the way to the end of the line. It was rush hour, and there were so many passengers that it was impossible for me to find a seat or a space to put the statue down. So I held it in my arms until the second to last station, when I finally found a seat and was able to put the statue on the floor. And that, he says, was when the miracle happened. A middle-aged lady approached me. She looked kind but very tired. She started talking to me, and she asked, is that Mother Mary? And I replied with a smile, yes, it is. Then she touched it with tears in her eyes, and she said, I couldn't have imagined I would see Mother Mary in the subway. I feel so tired after work, and I have to travel a long way home every day. I feel so blessed to see Mother Mary, and it's given me such a relief from all my stress. The subway stopped at the last station, and we walked out together. I said, let's stay for a while and say a prayer. We thanked the Lord for giving us a brand new day and a beautiful moment in the subway. We offered our joy, anger, and sorrow to the Lord, and we asked Mary to pray for us. At the end, we prayed a Hail Mary together. This time, her tears were full of happiness. Then we said goodbye, and she went to take another bus home. To me, this was a miracle. Whatever she was going through, this lady experienced healing from God and from Mother Mary through our encounter that day. And I was blessed to be God's instrument to pass this healing moment on to her. We never know, my friends, what God's plan is. But guess what? His plan is always good. Miracles are happening every day, and you could be the one to bring miracles to others. As Saint Teresa of Calcutta, Mother Teresa, often shared, we can do no great things, only small things with great love. So let's think about that quote in our own community and build heaven on earth. Our Lady of Fatima, pray for us. So that was a lovely, a beautiful story that I wanted to share with you. And I thought I'd offer you a couple more, and I hope you're enjoying them, because when people give their testimony about a healing and how through the intercession of Our Blessed Mother and their life changed in some way or other, it offers such food for the soul. It gives us such encouragement. It's such a validation of our faith that although we can't see her, but we know she's with us. We know it through our daily life of how we might have averted danger or how something turned out pretty beautiful after maybe being frightened at the beginning, and yet in the end, something beautiful has occurred. Brothers and sisters, never underestimate the power of God, and never underestimate the power of prayer through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. She is listening, and she takes every tear you have in her hands. She takes every thought you have, every concern, and she takes it to her Son, Jesus. He is listening too, because he listens to his mother, and she knows that when she goes to him, those prayers are being heard. So, brothers and sisters, I hope that maybe one day, if you have a miracle that's happened to you, I would love for you to send us an email here at the radio station, and you would send it to me, and you can put the Father's Quilt, Christina, or whatever you like, and the email address is quilt, Q-U-I-L-T, at radiomaria.ca. So that's quilt, Q-U-I-L-T, at Radio Maria, all one word, .ca. And say, you know, my miracle story. You don't have to give us your name if you don't want to, or just your first name. But, you know, it's an encouragement for everyone to hear testimonies. And if you ever want to share your testimony with me, then please include that in your email with either a phone number or with an email that we could respond to you. But I'd like to thank you in advance because, you know, it's important for all of us to hear from one another, to hear the wonderful works, the wonderful things that our Blessed Mother has done on our behalf. And through her intercession, we can go to her with the smallest of things to the biggest of things. So thank you so much, and that's in advance. So here's another little story. 39 years ago, something happened that very well shouldn't have. The Blessed Virgin Mary, by the power of her Son, did something so profound and so powerful that it makes one to rethink the limits of miracles. It was a sunny day in 1981 when an assassin's bullets tore into the body of St. Pope John Paul II, who was not even 3 years in his papacy. The shot, actually, it should be Pope John Paul, right, the second, who was not even 3 years into his papacy. The shots that gravely wounded and should have killed him didn't. And against significant odds, internal damage and blood loss, he survived, attributing it as a miracle from the hands of Mary. What makes it more of note is that John Paul II did not just have a reprieve of a few months, nor the time to write one more encyclical or make a single important decision. He went on to reign for another 24 years, helping to end the scourge of Western communism, producing mountains of theological writings, choosing the bishop for nearly every diocese, and leading the Catholic Church into the third millennium of Christianity. Still, even with all that, what Mary may have really done on that day is far more significant. The assassination attempt happened on the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima, and as soon as he was well enough, the Pope asked to see something that only a few living souls ever had, something written down just once by the last living seer of the famed apparitions. When the Blessed Virgin showed herself to three children in Fatima in 1917, she told them three secrets. The first two contained warnings of World War II, the spread of communism, and the need for repentance on the part of wayward mankind. The last secret was revealed only two decades ago by a then aged John Paul. The famed third secret contains a vision, among other things, of a bishop dressed in white being martyred by gunfire, and the interpretation of the Pope and many others was that it referred to him. How can that be, though, if he wasn't actually killed? Is it possible that the vision was entirely symbolic, or that it refers to someone else, or has simply been misinterpreted. In fact, many people hoping for something more apocalyptic and grand were actually disappointed. But there is another possibility hidden in the meaning of the third secret, and it is there that a truly extraordinary miracle lies. Existing outside of time and space with God in heaven, it is possible that what the Virgin said in 1917 was not a prediction. Rather, she saw the events of the future with the certainty that we see those of the past. What if Pope John Paul II was martyred on May 13, 1981? What if the world did mourn him and did wonder what would have come from the papacy that never was? And more startlingly, what if, knowing how events happened, the Mother of God changed them anyway? As John Paul later said, it was a mother's hand that guided the bullet's path, and in his throes, the Pope halted at the threshold of death. A bullet, recovered from the scene, now sits in the middle of the crown atop a statue of Our Lady at the site of her 1917 apparitions as a constant testament to her intercession. That day, we may dare to think that Mary did not just save the Pope's life, nor merely affect the fate of nations, but acted in such a way to make her voice reach each person as if to say, "My child, there is no ruin you can bring to your own story that I cannot fix. There is no distance from God you can travel, no embarrassment you can suffer, no prison you can make of your own choices, no destruction you can wreck, no despair or loneliness or sorrow or pain or heartache you can endure that I cannot reach and mend. No matter what you have done and how powerless you are and how lonely and wretched and broken you've become, healing is still mine to give. No knot you make can bind my hands. No sin distract my loving gaze. Turn to me and know what it means, that nothing will be impossible for God." All creation once waited in hallowed silence for Mary to freely choose to become the Mother of God. In her ability to say no, as Eve once had, the salvation of every soul to ever live depended on her answer. And it is that same woman, entrusted as the mother of all, who holds each person's history in her hands. If that most kind and merciful of mothers could step into time from eternity to alter the events that she herself announced would happen, well, then there is nothing she cannot do if God wills it for you. So I hope that you find that truly encouraging, my friends, truly encouraging. I was going to share with you another miracle, but because my time is running short, I wanted to finish off. You know, as I said before, the month of May is the perfect time to celebrate our devotion to Mother Mary. And during this month of May, we commemorate the Blessed Virgin Mary's extraordinary role as a mother to be for the whole Catholic Church, right? So, brothers and sisters, you may be thinking, well, remember, let me just see my little note. There we go. So my note is a little big. Let me see if I can just see if I can. Sometimes my notes are just a little too big. All right, let's see here. Okay, so Mary is a central figure in the Catholic faith, and her life illustrates how our Almighty Father works in our lives. Mary came and she was called by God to fulfill a very extraordinary role, that of becoming the mother of Jesus Christ. And of course, we know that this role was no easy feat. And during Mary's time, women did not have equal standing as men in society, right? And let me see. I just have to bear with me, brothers and sisters. It's just, okay, here we go. So, you know, Mary came from a simple background, and yet she was called by God to fulfill an extraordinary role. And of course, this role wasn't an easy role. Second, when Jesus was born, King Herod ordered infants everywhere to be slaughtered. So Mary had to flee to Egypt to escape the massacre and save her child. And despite the hardships that she had to go through, Mary became an instrument of faith and stayed committed in her role of bringing to life God's promised Son. Humility is one of the most fundamental values we should have as Christians. We can only receive Christ when we are humble and meek. Mary teaches us that pride and selfishness is something that we have to avoid. She had an extraordinary role as the Mother of God, and yet she remained humble in her ways and continued to serve the Lord with devotion. Being humble isn't always easy, right? But the Marian value of humility teaches us to put others first. When we are humble, we let go of our selfish human ways and become in tune with the ways and will of God. You know, Mary had lived her life in a very simple way, having found favor in the Lord. She accepted what was given to her with grace and humility. Our world puts a premium on material wealth. We become blinded by material pursuits, the latest gadgets, fancy cars. While there is nothing wrong with enjoying these gifts per se, it's important to remember that being obsessed with these things can distract us from God. Being simple encourages us to trust more in God and to use His divine standards as our yardstick for life rather than our own shallow and superficial standards. You know, we are reminded that this world is not our permanent abode and that eternity is waiting for us at the end of our earthly journey. And finally, when we live simply, we become closer to the people who are needy because we understand their plight. We learn to have God's heart for those people in need. By living simply, we realize that there is more to life than pursuing meaningless ambitions. So, my friends, I just want to say thank you again for being with me during this beautiful month of May. And I hope you're enjoying some beautiful things regarding miracles from our Mother Mary. Of course, we know about apparitions, but, you know, I wanted to touch on to the everyday miracles of life that our Mother Mary, and you don't have to travel too far. You don't have to read books. You just talk to your neighbor and friends. You'd be surprised how Mother Mary has revealed herself and has been a wonderful intercessor for one's life. And that includes your life too. So may God richly bless you. May our Mother Mary's intercession grant you all that you are hoping for, and may healing for your body, your soul, and spirit may become one and real with our Father in heaven. God bless you. Thank you again for being with me today. Bye for now.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day. wouldn't change a single.